Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. And on today's show, I've invited Dr. Paul Lawrence. He served as Undersecretary of Benefits at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. And today he's offering some helpful tips for veterans who may not realize some of their benefits do not expire. Welcome to the show, Dr. Lawrence.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Jennifer.
Wonderful. Well, let's start all about you. Tell us a little bit about you, where you grew up, your education, your work experience, and then how you ended up at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Sure. So I grew up in a military family. We traveled all around the world, my father dealing with that. I ended up going to school and then joining the military through ROTC. So I served for 3 years in the Army. And then afterwards, I became a consultant to government, a management consultant, some of the accounting firms in and around Washington, D.C. So that was my career. And then in 2017, I was asked to apply for a job as a political appointee at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, the VA, to work with veterans benefits. And so being a veteran, I was very compelled by the mission. I thought it could really make a difference in helping administer the benefits faster. Like all customers, veterans want their benefits fast and on time. And I thought, boy, really more could be done. So I had the real privilege of doing that for almost 3 years. And so as we say, when the administration changes, I was invited to resign. So since then, I've been a consultant and I've written a couple books about veterans issues.
Well, that's wonderful, that you do that. And so your books, why don't we talk a little bit about those?
Certainly. The most recent one, I think the one we'll talk about today, is called Veterans Benefits for You. It's about veterans benefits. A couple sort of things is often veterans don't realize how generous American society is for folks who serve. So there's a wide range of benefits. And so what I realized when I was in office is not everybody knows about them. So when I got out, I said, certainly there must be a book about these. And there were, but the couple kind of shortcomings. One is they're all written by lawyers, and we love lawyers to death, except they were really hard to understand. And often I got, can somebody just please explain this to me? And second, all the benefits weren't in one book. So you got a book on this and a book on that, but you had to really sort of figure out what to do. So I want to put them all in one place and easy to read. And so that was something I felt was needed. And that's why I wrote the book about benefits.
Veterans Benefits for You, Get What You Deserve. So that was published in 2023. And now your job is to spread the word about it so that veterans can find it, right?
That's right. So first thing is obviously it's on Amazon. I think it's less than $20 now. And if you think about getting some benefits, you'll more than pay for it itself. And seriously, it's often passed to an older veteran in the family. They didn't know. He didn't know about his benefits, or a neighbor or someone in their ecosystem. So it's a really good gift and can really help people like that out a lot.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And you detail certain sectors that people might not be thinking about. And some of them are disability compensation, home loan guarantee, and the education GI Bill. So let's start a little bit about disability compensation. Take your time and take us through that.
Sure. Disability compensation is a benefit for, it's a monetary benefit for folks who have been injured or disabled in service. So something happened to them in service which affects their life now. Often it's an injury. And what folks don't know, it isn't just in combat. You can be injured while training. You can be injured doing normal sort of things. You can be even be injured on your spare time while in the military. You're playing basketball and you get hurt at the post gym. So if you've been injured in service and you can demonstrate, yeah, something did happen to me, I was in service and it continues to bother me, you're eligible for a tax-free monthly payment, which can help with expenses and maybe sort of foregone wages. I can't work exactly as I would have worked once before. This is one of the sort of well-known benefits. You often hear folks say, filing a claim. That's what they're referring to, filing for disability compensation. It's tedious. But it's really important that veterans understand that, especially as they think about their family, because if something happens to you because you are getting disability compensation, your family can get benefits. And the last thing I'll say on this, Jennifer, is people are often, this is really complex. All the benefits I'm going to talk about, there's no cost assistance from what's called a veteran service officer. These are people who've been trained in VA's processes and procedures, and they provide no cost help. So you can often get them from the state. So in your case, the state Department of Military Affairs and the state of Pennsylvania. You can also get them from like the traditional veteran service organizations like the American Legion, DAV, VFW, and even Wounded Warrior Project. So there are people who can help veterans go through this process.
So the interesting point here that you make, I think, in the book is talking about new conditions that have developed because of military service. Is that right?
Well, there's two sort of things. One will happen is conditions will worsen. So let's go through an example, right? You left and your hearing is kind of okay, but over time your hearing worsens. So you got some disability compensation, you applied for disability compensation, and the way that's evaluated is on a scale of 0 to 100%. So you maybe say, hey, I'm 10% service connected. That affects the payment. But now you come back and say, my hearing is really bothering me. I was around loud noises in the military, and they give you an increase. They may raise it to 50%, say you're entitled to more by the way the scale works. So that's what's called a claim for increase. It's very common for veterans to come back to do this because sadly, yeah, as you'll find out, when you get older, conditions worsen. Okay. And so things kind of happen that way. That's a claim for increase. And we tell all veterans, come back every 3 to 5 years because this is just the sort of the nature of life. Another claim is what's sort of a new condition. You didn't really know about this, and it just kind of happens to you. Say, oh, wow, all of a sudden now something's happening to me, and I think it's related to my military service, or what is known as a secondary condition. I hurt my ankle, and now my knee is bothering me because I hurt my ankle. That's very common as sort of, again, life begins to happen. So again, this is why a service officer can help a veteran. They'll often talk to the veteran and say, what did you do in the military? And they'll explain and they'll go, oh, well, people like that tend to have these conditions. Do you have them? So for example, I often see pilots and I say, oh, I was a pilot in the military. How's your hearing? How's your back and neck? And almost immediately they go, well, funny you should ask about that. And yeah, because of how you sat and how you did your job, things kind of happen. And lots of jobs are like that.
And deadlines are important, and you really want to communicate that to people.
They are and they aren't. You can always apply for disability compensation whenever you want it. So there's no end date. But one of the things that people will learn if they file for disability compensation is instantly they'll be asked to file what's called an intent to file. This sort of sets your beginning date. In VA language, it's called your effective date. So let me give you an example. You want to apply for disability compensation. Let's use a calendar year, sometime in your calendar year. It'll take you a while to get the paperwork going and whatever, and maybe you won't get it done until July. But if you start on January 1st and you file an intent to file, that means that when you do get benefits, it will be effective January 1st. So if you finally do get the paper together in July, send it in, and they grant you benefits in December, it'll go back all the way. Your first payment will go all the way back to January instead of July. So that's like why the intent to file. So the intent to file is good for 1 year, and it kind of sets a marker, and you get what's called a retroactive or a retro payment. And so that's very important, especially since often assembling this information can take a little bit of time.
And no cost in filing these claims.
Absolutely not. You can file as many times as you want. You can be denied an appeal, and we'll talk about that. No, there's no cost. You can come back as often as you like.
And that denial process is not always final.
That's right. Well, it isn't, it isn't. You can go through, there's an exhaustive process, but you can appeal. Every decision VA makes for you, you can actually appeal. And this is quite different than other government agencies. I've tried this at the IRS and they have no sense of humor, but at VA, they will allow you to come back and they show you how. You can file what's called a higher level review of your claim. Somebody more experienced will look at it, and you can actually have a conference and point out the mistake you think was made. No new evidence, but somebody look at it again.
Interesting.
You can file what's called a supplemental claim. Oh, you said you couldn't find information about my hurt knee. I have more information, so you get to provide new information. You can even then file an appeal before the Board of Veterans Appeals. This is a set of series of administrative law judges who can review it. Takes a little while to do that, but a lot of people like to appeal to a judge and have a person talk to them. Then, if you're unhappy with all that, you can go into the legal system, go to the Court of Veterans Claims. And then if you're really unhappy, you probably even take your case to the Supreme Court. That happens very rarely, but some kind of get there. So you eventually get to the end of that process, but most people stop somewhere along the way.
Have you seen veterans have good experiences with this process? Maybe give us an example of something that you were very pleased that this worked out for someone.
Yeah, this is a new process that went into effect in 2019. It used to be that if you were unhappy, you went to the Board of Veterans Appeals, you got administrative law judge. And the word on this was it took a long time, somewhere from 3 to 7 years. That was just long, too long and ridiculous. You can go into the first thing I described, the higher level review, and point out the mistake to somebody. They can correct it, and that can happen in like 3 to 6 months. So the speed by which you can get, a math mistake or something that just somebody overlooked, that unfortunately does happen. And so that's really the advantage. That's really the advantage and the upside you're describing.
And you keep reiterating too that these organizations like the American Legion, Disabled American Veterans, the VFW are great resources for our veterans.
That's right. States and counties often have service officers too. But yeah, the process is hard. The process is not hard, but it's hard if you're just doing it for the first time. And the service officers have been trained, so they've done hundreds of these, right? And so they know how to fill out the forms, they know the rules, they know the answer to some of the questions you're likely to have. So while my book explains a lot of information, that last little bit where you sit down and fill out the form, according to you, what happened to you in the military is really something that somebody may have to help you with, right? And so the better they can describe the problem, the better they're able to help you advocate, the more likely you are to get your claim approved at the level you think it merits.
It's interesting when you talk about this. It's almost like current active military should read your book as well to make sure they understand what their rights are moving forward.
Well, that's actually a good point because I often do give it to a lot of service members who I meet and say, hey, I'm in the military. I say, great, thanks for joining, thanks for your service. But don't forget, think about these benefits afterwards because if you think about kind of how it works, right? We encourage people to join the military to enlist. It's very unlikely you're ever going to be talking to people who got drafted anymore. Those folks in Vietnam are aging out on us. And so this is volunteer. You volunteer, hopefully, you get good pay, great experiences, a lot of opportunities. But then these benefits are something you get when you come out. So people need to understand it's kind of a twofold thing, right? While I'm there, and then later I get these benefits, which really can help me in my life afterwards.
Dr. Paul Lawrence served as Undersecretary for Benefits at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Today, he's giving some helpful tips for veterans who may not realize that some of their benefits do not expire. You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. My guest today is Dr. Paul Lawrence. He served as Undersecretary for Benefits at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. He gathered some very, very important information for veterans while he was serving throughout his career and has written several books. His latest one that we're talking about today is Veterans Benefits for You. Get what you deserve. That is now available on Amazon. He agreed to come on the show today because we're hopeful that any veterans in Westmoreland County in Pennsylvania who are hearing this might want to take a look at this book and determine if some of these benefits are right for them. One of them that we want to talk today is about home loan guarantee. So this is really, really important and actually a huge benefit of joining the military. Why don't you tell us about this?
Yeah, this is, I'm so glad you picked up on this, Jennifer. This is one of the really invaluable benefits to veterans and service members as they think about increasing their net wealth. Because the purchasing a home is often one of the biggest assets in anyone's portfolio. And buy a home for $500,000, later sell it for $600,000 or more. You can use that money for education, vacations, a whole bunch of things. And many veterans use that to start a business. So it's really kind of a big deal. And some of the challenges of purchasing a home are often coming up with a down payment. Most people don't know this until they begin to buy a home, but you may have to put up somewhere between 5 or 20% of the down payment. So if you buy a $500,000 home, in my example, and they ask for 10% down, you're going to come up with $50,000. So a lot of civilians struggle to save that money, and they might never own a home because of the down payment. Well, if you're a veteran, you've served honorably, you can have access to what's called the home loan guarantee, essentially the ability to purchase a home with no money down. This saves you tremendous amount of time, energy, and really puts you ahead of your civilian counterparts. In addition, you don't pay another fee that people often have to pay, what's called private mortgage insurance. So you don't have to pay that monthly fee. And generally, but not always, veterans get a slightly lower interest rate because it's seen as a safer mortgage because VA guarantees the down payment. And so it's really a tremendous value. It can be used for, you know, regular homes, as you think about it, multi-purpose homes. So you could buy an apartment complex, live in one, and rent the rest out. Even trailers under, you know, mobile homes under certain conditions, and farms, but not really the farm home, but not the big farm, the land. And like, so there's all kinds of ways this can be used, and veterans can use it more than once in their lifetime. Buy a home, sell a home, buy a home, and just kind of keep going. So.
Isn't that interesting? So how would they go about the process of getting that home loan guarantee?
Sure. It's pretty simple. I mean, VA only guarantees the down payment. You still got to get a mortgage like everybody else. But what you do is you get something from VA called the Certificate of Eligibility. You can log on or call them. And this process actually works pretty well at VA. It demonstrates you're a veteran and you're entitled to use the home loan guarantee. Then you go about purchasing a home, right? You see all the homes you want and eventually make an offer and you buy one, and then you apply for a mortgage. You'll apply for a mortgage like everybody does at a financial institution, a bank, or wherever. And then they'll ask you, are you a veteran? You say, yes, I want to use my home loan guarantee. You show them the certificate of eligibility. They should have no problem filling out the paperwork for you and taking care of it. Most real estate agents and the people they use really understand this process, but VA is there to help people in case they don't know what to do. It works pretty well and generally safeguards the veterans because VA requires the home be appraised to make sure it's worth what you're paying for it. So it's really a pretty good process. Most people use it effectively. Veterans own homes far greater than national average, in part because of this benefit.
Wow, that is so interesting and wonderful to hear. And, you know, wonderful even for this region in Western Pennsylvania, Doctor. You know, we are seeing a contraction of population, right? We have more jobs than we know what to do with, nobody to fill them. Probably that will eventually impact the housing market. So, hey, this could be a great benefit to use in Western Pennsylvania for sure.
Well, you should tell people that more often because that is a problem for veterans, right? Where they live, there's often a shortage of houses and housing prices are a problem. So places like, you know, your community should be talking about that.
That's great. Wonderful. And the next thing that you talk about really in the book that's significant for veterans is the education benefits. I'm interested to hear about earning free college.
Certainly. Yeah. So the slang has now become the GI Bill. That's sort of how we talk about education, even though at one time the GI Bill was broader. So that's kind of why the education benefits, that's sort of how that's become. So certainly at its rudimentary, it's very simple. If you serve 3 years in the military and leave with an honorable discharge, you get the equivalent of a 4-year free ride at a state university, right? 4 years of college at the equivalent of a state university, though you can go elsewhere and there are some programs to pay more. But that's the way to think about it. In addition, you'll get a monthly housing allowance for the 36 months you're in college. So it really is a valuable benefit. Now, the trick, of course, is to figure out what you want to do with those 4 years, because a lot of veterans, unfortunately, leave the military, say, hey, I'd like to get that housing allowance. I want to go do something. I think I'll go to college. They wake up 2 years later and their 36 months are half gone and they are not en route to getting a degree. So the challenge, of course, is to use it most effectively. Some veterans will figure out, hey, I'd like to go to law school or medical school. And this will be worth much more when the schools cost more. So I'll save it and save it for later. In addition, over time, as you're probably aware, college and education, I mean, the education market is changing. A lot of people don't want a college or don't have the need to go to college. So you can use it for apprenticeships. You can use it for schools we once would have called the trades, become an electrician or a plumber or an HVAC person, which I suspect you're aware of. If you ever call one of these people, it's the fastest route to a $100,000 a year job because of the demand for these skills. And finally, something that's really become hot in the last three-ish years are credentials and certificates. You do some short period of training and you pass a test that demonstrates I have mastered this skill. Cybersecurity is a very big thing for veterans, program management and logistics, right? Materials, supply chain, all that kind of stuff. So there's some version of education you can access through the GI Bill that is probably appropriate and will really change your life in the way you'd like it to.
So you don't necessarily have to go into the military with a college degree, or as you said, you can go in with a college degree, serve, and then come out and use it for continuing education.
You got it exactly right. I'm so glad you picked up on that, Jennifer, right? So a lot of people enlist right out of high school, and many people use the GI Bill after first person ever to go to college, right? But a lot of people enlist after ROTC, for example, right? So they can use their GI Bill for a master's degree or something like that. And a lot of people wake up now and say, well, I didn't think about this, but now I'm in a highly competitive job market. Boy, if I had a certificate for project management, I could probably get it promoted ahead of my peers. So there's all these different kind of things which you laid out that are out there for veterans.
So the law has changed a bit, right? The forever GI Bill is different than what it used to be. Can you explain that?
Yeah, that's a good pickup. The Forever GI Bill went into effect, and basically it says if you left the military after January 1st, 2013, the benefits I just described will be yours forever. It used to be you had 15 years to use them, but now they're yours forever. So that's a really big deal if you say, well, I just didn't get around to it, because sadly, that benefit did expire, the 15-year, the old GI Bills. That did expire, but this one now addresses that. It never expires. It's there as long as you meet the qualifications.
Wonderful. And as you continue to look at active duty or reservists, all this applies. Reservists as well.
Yeah, it's a little nuanced. It's not quite as straightforward. So in the book, I describe some of the sort of hoops reservists got to jump through. They just need to be aware of the special rules for reservists, especially true for National Guard. People serve in the National Guard. The benefits are the same. Just how to be eligible is different.
Interesting. So interesting. And so many different, different opportunities for veterans and their families. I mean, some of this, whether it be the disability compensation, the home loan guarantee, or having their parent or guardian, grow in their education, all this benefits the families as well. Anything else you want to mention specifically about families?
Well, that's really important. Yeah. So a lot of veterans, this is especially true around disability compensation. A lot of veterans will leave the military and say, I'm fine, I'm good, I have no problems, right? So I'll point out the later in life thing we talked about. But I'll also remind them that if something happens to you because of your time in service, it may well be your family will receive benefits. Not the same benefits, but different benefits. But that is only true if what happened to you is a function of your service. So for example, you serve in the military, years later you get cancer because you've been exposed to something. They conclude that was because of your service. Unfortunately, you pass in my example. Your family can get benefits because they will say they passed because of something that happened to them in the service. So that connectivity to the family, to the veteran, having passed in the service enables benefits for the family. So I always remind veterans, they say, I don't want to go through the hassle. I'm good. I don't need it. Don't forget your family. These are invaluable benefits that, again, people have thought through to make sure the families are helped if something happens. So that's really, really important. And if something were to happen, they would get monthly payment. They could very well have, they can use the home loan guarantee, and they could very well have education benefits. So it really, all these things can extend to your family under certain circumstances.
And you say in the book, the best time to learn about your benefits is well before applying for them, hence your book, So Start Now, correct?
Oh, that's absolutely right. You don't want to learn about benefits under duress, right? So imagine the family. Your loved one has passed. You know, you're going through grief and whatever, and now you get to deal with this enormous bureaucracy and all this paperwork. You don't want to have that done. The very best practice is tell your family about your benefits early so they know, apply for them early. You know, just do these things because they will take time and they will demand attention and energy.
So, do you think you'll continue to write about veterans benefits, or what's your next endeavor? What can we expect to hear from you next?
Well, yes, I think there's a lot to explain and help people understand. You know, I think, you know, again, the good news, bad news. The good news is American public's incredibly generous to the benefits and it provides on veterans. A lot of it is nuanced, new laws all the time, new thinking about how the job market works. I'm beginning to think more and more about veteran employment. I think it's very, very important. We encourage veterans to get a job, right? The money, expenses, and all that. But also meaning and purpose. I think it's good that veterans work after service, as well as staying connected, because in the military, you're part of a team, right? And now you become a veteran. A lot of folks lose that connectivity, and that has the possibilities of negative things. And we don't want that to happen to veterans. So that's something I'm thinking more about. I'm thinking about another book.
And job training too, because most of them are trained, very, very well trained, right?
They're all trained. They all have incredible skills. I mean, you do surveys of veterans afterwards as employees. They always do well, well above their peers. You know, their ability to deal with ambiguity, focus on the mission. You know, they show up on time. They'll stay until it's done. You know, they won't complain by and large. So really, these skills are something that employers are starting to recognize and really appreciate.
I think you've got your new book here because you can teach veterans how to market themselves to employers.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. That's often one of the things where they come up short in interviews, because the employers who are interviewing often don't know much about the military, and the veteran as a job candidate often struggles to explain, and so there's sometimes a disconnect. So yeah, the better that conversation goes, the better for the company, the better for the veteran.
I want to stress one more time a little bit about the book and where to find it. So go ahead and tell us again the title and where people can find the book.
Sure, it's called Veterans Benefits for You. You can find it on Amazon. It's pretty straightforward. I actually now believe there are electronic versions of it as well. And again, you know, like you pointed out, who should get this? Well, I definitely think folks in the military and the reserves who one day are planning to get out, because the ability to understand what documentation I'll need, what kind of things I should be thinking about, that's real helpful. Obviously, you're a veteran. You know, you got some training on the way out about your benefits, but it's like a fire hose shot at you on the way out. You know, this can help you in case you've forgotten all that stuff. And again, older veterans in your life, because sadly, go back to the Vietnam, we weren't very nice to those veterans. Our country as a whole, it's gotten so much better for veterans. So sometimes the older folks don't know about these. It's a great gift for somebody in your family or extended family.
For sure. Dr. Paul Lawrence served as Undersecretary for Benefits at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. So that must have been an interesting job for you. You learned a lot and you tried to do a lot for our veterans.
Yeah, it was. I describe it as one of the best jobs I ever had, one of the most fulfillings. But it had its good days and bad days. The good days were when you felt you had made a difference for somebody. So I'm struggling. Can you help me see what's going to go on? You could figure out how to get them benefits according to rules. Those are the good days. The bad days were when you'd see about somebody caught in the bureaucracy. Right. And they were spinning around and they were struggling to get their benefits. And you just wake up and said, I'm in charge of this mess. How could something be so horribly difficult for our veterans? So I tried real hard to streamline all the processes so there'd be many more good outcomes and less of some of the frustration.
Dr. Paul Lawrence served as Undersecretary for Benefits at the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. He is the author of Veterans Benefits for You, Get What You Deserve. Dr. Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us on Westmoreland Community Connections today.
No, thank you, Jennifer. I really enjoyed it.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. Thanks for listening.